Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Where I Belong, episode number 4. I don't have a real title for this one yet, but I am your host, David Corbo, and today we're going to be talking about my obsession with conspiracy theories as a young man. When I was 17 years old, probably. I would say probably 17. I would say the first conspiracy theory that I went balls deep in was probably martial law, which isn't really a conspiracy theory in itself, but I thought that it was going to happen. I was dead set on the idea that martial law was going to happen, and I think it might have been because I was having these reoccurring nightmares of being in school and the school being on military lockdown, and I don't know how I made the jump when I realized, oh, military lockdown, that's like martial law. I don't remember what it was that set me in that direction that made me kind of define it. But at 17 years old, I became pretty damn certain that martial law was an inevitability, which historically speaking, it's happened before in other countries and things like that. And you know, it's happened during times of extreme civil unrest where there's riots and, you know. But I thought that shit was on its way. I thought that some sort of protest was going to be the catalyst or a natural disaster was going to be the catalyst. But, I also swore to God that the natural disasters, they were orchestrated by a device called HARP, which is an acronym, H-A-A-R-P. I forget what that is, but we could look it up right now. But I was convinced that HARP was going to, it was this big government secret weapon that they were going to use, they could use to, before I look it up, it was like to emit a sort of wave into the ionosphere or some shit like that, and by doing so they could dictate where and pretty much when they wanted an earthquake to happen. Let's see, H-A-A-R-P, what does Google say? Come on. But yeah, I was pretty certain that was going to be either that or a man-made pandemic. High frequency active auroral research program. So it's real. HARP is a real thing. Although I don't believe it's some nefarious thing anymore. I think that they can, let's see. The high frequency active auroral research program was initiated as an ionospheric research program jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Look at that. Fuck yeah. Established in 1993. This is according to Wikipedia, so, you know, everything you read on the internet is true. But look at that, man. I was right. Frequencies, launches frequencies into the ionosphere. So I'm not going to go too deep with that. But yeah, that was basically this idea that oh look, there's a YouTube video. What the hell is HARP actually doing at conspiracy stuff rather? Yeah, so I thought that was going to happen. I thought there was going to be a man-made natural disaster via HARP, or that there was going to be protests for whatever reason that were going to get so out of control that they were going to declare a state of emergency and martial law, which, you know, involves curfews and shit like that. You can't go out past 8 o'clock at night or else you're basically taken by whatever sort of squad they have patrolling the area. Just military lockdown was the whole idea. And I was fucking obsessed with that. And I used to do such stupid shit. I used to, collect knives. Because, you know, when the bad guys came for me, I was going to, like, knife their asses. You know, whatever super elite squad of military trained personnel that was going to come for me, I was going to kick the shit out of them and run into the woods or something like that. you know. And I remember seeing things like, let's see, was it Hurricane Sandy? No, not Hurricane Sandy. Well, there was some sort of natural disaster. It might have been Katrina, and I was seeing it on the news where they had FEMA camps set up. That was the first thing, the first example, or my first hearing of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and what a FEMA camp was. And a FEMA camp was basically, you know, a shanty town that was set up for survivors of a natural disaster. You know, if resources are scarce, if you've been driven out of your home by floods, you know, in the case of Katrina, all these different things, the Federal Emergency Management Agency would set up, you know, a tent city, and they would do their best to help you. I, being a fucking psychopath, thought, oh shit, that's a concentration camp. And so that's the deal, right? It's man-made natural disaster or pandemic via, you know, biological warfare, the avian bird flu, the swine flu, whatever, the 1912 Spanish flu virus, Spanish flu, whatever the fuck. They were going to engineer these things to be very difficult to vaccinate against. They were going to release them. It was going to cause this giant pandemic. Blah, 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 blah. FEMA camps. You were going to end up in a camp, and it was going to be the motherfucking Holocaust. And only I knew it. Me and a select few of other crazy cunts on the internet. And I was going to knife people to save myself. And I also had plans, like we were going to, me and my friends were going to rendezvous on the train tracks. And we had a meeting point. If shit ever goes down and, you know, cell phone towers are down so we can't contact each other, just know that I'm going to meet you here. And it was, you know, a spot under a bridge on a railroad track. Stay off the main roads because that's where all the blockades are going to be. So hit the tracks and just head this way and we'll meet someplace in the middle. And wow. Wow. You know, and then there was a weird thing that I remember seeing on the internet. Mass coffins. They look like coffins. And I don't think anybody ever declared that they were coffins. So let's see what happens if I type in mass coffins. Oh shit, that video is still up. Wow, September 11th, 2008. Oh man. So I was 18 years old. I forget what state this is. It was one of the Midwestern states, I believe. And they were, basically they looked like giant plastic tubs that could fit a good amount of people per tub, and they were just stacked. You know, I'm looking at a thumbnail here on a video, and it looks to me like, I don't know, just in that thumbnail alone, maybe a thousand plus, you know, who knows how much is off screen or whatever, but there was a lot of them. And so that was another thing that was just like, motherfucker, we're going to start dropping like flies because of this pandemic or this natural disaster or martial law. They're just going to start dropping us and they're going to start tossing us in these giant plastic coffins and you know, mass graves. That was the thing. Oh my God, it's bringing back so many memories looking at these videos here. NWO, FEMA camps and millions of plastic coffins and mass graves. NWO, for the uninitiated, is the New World Order. Which, if you're also a psychopath like myself, you know, that's the cream of the crop right there. The fucking New World Order, the Illuminati, the 1%, FEMA camps, that's all. That's my wheelhouse, baby. So, yeah, that was about 17, 18 years old, and I was just fucking obsessed with that. And, you know, so that really took up a lot of my time. Time I could have been using for productive things, or more positive things at least, because in hindsight, it never happened. I was for sure balls deep in 2012 as well, up until maybe the year of 2012, where I started to rationalize. My thinking was it was all going to be a gradual raising of the temperature. The pot was going to slowly start to boil. It wasn't going to boil all at once. It was going to be, you know, a pandemic, you know, martial law, riots in the streets, countless natural disasters, and it was going to be just on an uptick until the very point of, you know, whatever the fuck happens. I believe that that aliens were going to come on 2012. That's what I thought was going to happen. I didn't think that. Oh God, yeah. Woo, I remember it all. All right, good. This brings us to our very next part of the podcast. And if you'll travel along with me to segment two, yeah, I thought that all this shit was gonna lead up to 2012, and in 2012, fucking aliens were coming back. Not just any aliens, bitch. The fucking Anunnaki, or the Anunnaki. I don't know what the correct pronunciation is, because I don't even fucking know if they're real. But the Anunnaki were, man, it's been a long time, and I'm proud that I don't have this information at the ready. I could Google it, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. So, basically, the Anunnaki were this alien species from a planet called Nibiru. Now, Nibiru is a bunch of things. Either it's our sun's twin star, something like that, or it's just a big ass planet. It's the 10th planet, if you still, that, which is Eddie Bravo's 10th planet jiu-jitsu. Shout out to Eddie Bravo. He didn't call it Nibiru jiu-jitsu, he called it 10th planet. So the 10th planet was Nibiru. It was on what's called an elliptical orbit. So where our orbit is a ring, a circle around the sun, Nibiru was on a very elongated oval orbit. And one side of the oval passes directly through our solar system. But if you continue on it, it takes Nibiru far away from our solar system. Like, I forget what the number is, but let's just throw out some bullshit number. It was like an 11,000-year orbit. So, for a few thousand years or something like that, it passes through our solar system. But for a bulk of the time that it's traveling this ring, it's so far out that we can't even see it. Not only that, but the orbit stretches in the direction of, like, behind the sun or some shit. So for whatever reason, it's one too far to be detected, and then when it does get close enough, it's hidden behind the sun, so you wouldn't know it until it was too fucking late. And not only does it have aliens that live on it, but it also wreaks a bunch of bullshit havoc and just generally fuck shit up, which was the reason for the uptick in natural disasters if you didn't want to go the HARP route. Or if you were diehard conspiracy theorists, it was both of them, motherfucker. HARP was doing the shit. And then, you know, Nibiru was doing the shit too. It was the government and it was aliens. But they, the Anunnaki, are supposedly responsible for a giant leap in evolution that we can't attest for. Which I think we can. I think an actual biologist would disagree with me. And hopefully, you know, rightfully so, because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But the idea was that these beings, when their orbit passed through our solar system, kind of hopped up off their planet and was like, fuck's going on here? Look at these monkeys. And they started, like, fucking with the monkeys. They started splicing their DNA, because they had the ability to do this, splice their DNA, which we weren't the only things that they did that with. They did it with all types of species, which is where you supposedly get, you know, Anubis, the jackal-headed man-god, and, you know, Horus, the hawk-headed man-god, or I think it's a hawk, yeah. Just a lot of these different creatures that you would have seen throughout mythology, where it's, you know, what's that other guy? Minotaur, right? So a bull dude. It was like the dude aspect came from the Anunnaki, and all the rest of the attributes came from the native species to Earth. And so I suppose they end up creating us. And we were actually a slave species to them that was meant to harvest, or not harvest, but mine gold, because they needed gold so that they could somehow, they had destroyed their planet's atmosphere, and the way that they were going to repair their atmosphere was to suspend a very, very, very thin layer of gold in their atmosphere, and it would act as a protectant from whatever the elements, the sun, I don't fucking know. But I do believe this is all perpetuated by a fictional author named Zachariah Sitchin, who's a super prolific science fiction author. And much like Ancient Aliens, that show on the History Channel, he took, you know, kind of tidbits of truth from actual history and then filled in the blanks with ridiculous shit. Which some people say it's not ridiculous. Some people say it's, you know, that it's true, and but for sure it's not worth fucking thinking about, because I spent a long time doing that, and the Anunnaki never came back on 2012, and Nibiru, you know, but what does happen occasionally is you'll find these instances in scientific literature of another planet being discovered on the outskirts of our solar system, or things like that. And I do believe there are also some instances of, you know, kind of ancient civilizations like the Egyptians or the Mayans or the Aztecs or the Inca or you know, whatever, having stone depictions of our solar system and there being a 10th planet. I don't fucking know if any of that's really true, because you watch, you know, one too many YouTube videos and the fucking waters get murky, man. You don't know what's up or down anymore. You don't know what's true, and you waste a lot of time. So, but yeah, that was another big thing. And, you know, I think along with that came the reptilians, because to some extent, the reptilians is a fucking hilarious one, because there are people out there that swear to God, if you pause, for example, a news anchor's segment, you know, as they're telling you about whatever, the car accident or the, you know, the fucking traffic on the turnpike or whatever, certain moments you can catch them blinking with their other set of eyelids or something like that. You can catch them blinking where one moment their eyes will be normal, they'll blink and their eyes will be yellow and they'll blink real quick and they'll go back to normal. And this is evidence of reptilians among us. And I never really bought that one very much, although there was this really compelling story by this guy named Phil Schneider, I believe. And you guys can look this up. Phil, you know what? Let's type that in. Phil Schneider, if my memory serves me, was this dude that used to be an architect of some sort and was hired to make underground military bases. Phil Schneider. Let's see real quick. Phil Schneider speech. Speech pathology recognized masters. The man behind the alien agenda. Boom. Phil Schneider is a total fraud. Boom. Okay, yeah, so that's the guy. So basically what he fucking says is he's tasked with, you know, creating this underground base for the military, and everything's pretty hunky-dory until one day, for whatever reason, he takes this elevator. I'm really going to butcher this fucking story, and you guys can look it up if you want. I ain't got the fucking time. But Phil Schneider takes this elevator down. I don't know if it was to check on some equipment that kept turning up broken. But they managed to drill through a certain layer where a bunch of soot and foul-smelling bullshit shoots up the canal that the drills have created and breaks to the surface, and everybody smells it. It smells like shit. And I think Phil is basically like, well, fuck, I gotta go check this out. So he gets in the thing and he goes down in this fucking elevator and he goes to, you know, investigate. And you know, one thing leads to another, and there's a motherfucking shootout between Green Beret soldiers and some sort of reptilian beings that are using, man, I don't fucking energy blasts. Yeah, this whole story is fucking funky. So, Phil Schneider gets blasted by one of these aliens. He waves his hand in front of his body and emits a giant energy blast that blows open Phil Schneider's gut and blows off, like, several fingers because his hand was in front of his gut, like, you know, trying to protect himself or something. So his guts are hanging out now. He's barely conscious. Some Green Beret soldier grabs him, drags him, tosses him into the elevator, hits the button, and sends him up. And the last thing Phil sees is this dude, you know, valiantly fighting off fucking reptilian aliens that live under the surface of our planet. He insists there's a war going on. And if you see him, he's missing some fingers, and that's fucking, you know, doesn't mean shit. He could have gotten into a bandsaw accident, but that was his thing. There's a fucking war going on under the surface of the earth. So yeah, that was a real, and that kind of hooked me a little bit. I liked that story. It was funky. It was a sexy story. I liked it. And when you're a young man, you want to believe funky, sexy shit like that. You know, please tell me that the world isn't just, you know, working the cash register at ShopRite, scanning your peanut butter and sending you on your way. Please tell me that there's an alien war happening under the surface. That would be way doper for that. Where do I sign up? You know, where's the recruitment office for fucking up aliens? But, you know, that, all that stuff, UFOs, always a fun one. I remember getting pretty fooled by videos of a giant pyramid hovering above Egypt, I think it was, or Paris, or I think it would happen in multiple places, but turns out that video was doctored. It was early Photoshop. I was fucking sold. Really thought it was happening. You know, crop circles, all this shit. I remember listening to these idiotic things on YouTube. They were videos by an organization called the Galactic Federation of Light. And it was basically, you know, Siri's voice, Alexa, that automated woman's voice, for whatever reason, because I guess the aliens thought that we would receive the message better in that voice than, you know, their own, or maybe they couldn't talk. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was this constant thing about how they were going to make contact and full disclosure was going to be forced upon our government. In other words, the Galactic Federation of Light is so gangster. They've been chilling. They've been watching what's going on Earth. And they think that we're ready, and any day now they're going to force the government's hand and make them admit to the public all of the interactions they've had with aliens throughout the years, and that we're not alone in the universe, and that there's an entire federation, like a universal, or at least a galactic government, that we were soon going to join. We were going to join the ranks of all these aliens that had come together. It was like Mass Effect, the game, I don't know, or fucking Star Trek, you know, or Star Wars, whatever. We were gonna finally break through that barrier, realize there's all this shit going on right above our heads, and we were gonna take our place amongst the Congress, the Galactic Congress. You know, a representative from Earth would be there, and a representative from the Pleiades. I don't fucking know. But that was what the Galactic Federation of Light was. It was these really long-winded videos, all done in Siri voice. And I got hooked on that shit for a while. I was listening to them every day. And then they kept saying, like, it's about to happen, it's about to happen. And then nothing would ever fucking happen. So I eventually kind of wised up and realized I was wasting my time there. But that was a good one. You know, there's the whole structures on the moon. If you look into that, I mean, I don't even That's another good one. Let's look that one up. Structures on the moon, because I know some pretty intelligent people. Structures on the moon that think that that's real. And it's interesting. Buildings on the moon. Mystery of alien tower on the moon is solved by the Daily Mail. Right, or it's an article by the... These are not craters. Either way, there's a whole group of people. I counted myself amongst their ranks at one point that believe that there are structures left from an ancient civilization who somehow made it to the moon, or an alien civilization who exists on the moon and are watching us at all times. You know, there's this idea that the moon was once struck by a comet and rang out like a bell for days or something, kind of suggesting that it was hollow. Moon struck by meteor. Rings like bell. Does the moon sound like a bell? Although, hollow moon that rings like bell put into orbit by ancient aliens. All right, so there you go. The moon is fucking hollow. It was put there as a surveillance device by ancient aliens, and at some point, someone claims that it was struck by a meteor and rang out like a bell for days. I don't know when the fuck that happened. Pretty sure I would have heard that one. But that's a thing that people believe as well. And there's some pretty intriguing pictures on the internet that you can find at the surface of the moon where, you know, upon initial inspection, it looks pretty normal. Maybe there's some questionable lines there. It kind of looks like there might have been something. Once they start highlighting the shit in red, your brain starts filling in the blanks, and you're going, holy shit, there it is. I don't know. Maybe there is something. I just err on the side of caution now because I spent so long, you know, looking into bullshit that I'm afraid to waste any more time. But there are people out there that believe that. And like I said, I've seen at points in my life some pretty interesting shit having to do with that. So, but that's another one. Aliens, I think I really went pretty deep with. What was it? Structures on the moon. Nibiru, the Anunnaki and the Nephilim. Galactic Federation of Light. Okay, so I would say now is a good time to bring into what I would call the meat of this podcast is this really interesting thing that happened to me, and I'd like to share it because it's just a fun fucking story, and I don't think any of it means anything. I think if you really want to, you can connect the dots anywhere. I think as human beings, we're hardwired to look for patterns, and if you really try hard enough, you can find patterns in anything that aren't real. They don't exist. They don't mean anything. But if you try hard enough, if you stare at a thing long enough, it's like seeing faces in the, you know, in the leaves of a tree. If you look at a tree outside your window and you can start to make faces out of the gaps where the sunlight breaks through the gaps in the leaves. And, you know, we're just hardwired to find patterns. Doesn't mean there's a face in the fucking tree, but if you look hard enough, you can see something. So, let's see. When I was maybe about 11 years old, actually, let's go back a little bit further. When I was 6, I moved out of my house in Elizabeth, and I moved into a house in Carteret with my mom's boyfriend. We had an upstairs apartment with him, and the downstairs apartment was his mother and father. And his mother was very much like a grandmother figure to me. Sweet woman, and really one of the people in my life who I would consider a moral compass for me. She's a sweet person. She was a good person. She was very smart. She was very witty. Very intuitive, always knew when I was up to bullshit, And, you know, very happy that she was part of my life. But that bitch had some spooky stories. Like, spooky stories, man. Oh, my God. And one of the ones she would tell me all the time is a story of this character that would visit her during these night terrors. So she would have these night terrors, and she would wake up in cold sweats and find that she couldn't move. And she was entirely paralyzed. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't even scream. And she would be visited by this character that would stand over her, this silhouette of a man. You couldn't see his face. You couldn't see any details, just a big black mass of a man, except for what she described as like a Clint Eastwood style hat, like a spaghetti Western, like not a cowboy hat, not a top hat, but, you know, if you've ever seen Fistful of Dollars or anything, that hat. And even kind of the vague silhouette of like a trench coat. Yeah, it was always a duster, like a duster. Right? So she'd be visited by this black shape that was shaped like a man with a fucking brimmed hat and a duster. And he would never do anything. He would just stare at her and stare at her and stare at her. And she'd be fucking terrified. Like, no other fear that you've ever experienced in your entire life is how she would describe it. To this day, she's never felt anything like it. But this would happen relatively often in her youth. And I would say that was probably, if this was 2000 and... No. Yeah, this was like the year 2000, and she was probably... So this shit was probably happening in like the 50s. 50s or 60s, right? And she said that her sister would often see the same thing. And she would, you know, they would talk about it the next day. Because they would even see it in the same night. This is all fucking... This is all... All these stories are true in the sense that they're stories, and the people that had them happen... That it happened to, they believe that this shit happened to them. I'm not making up shitty stories. So, her sister would see this dude, and often it would be the same night. And one day, because they never talked to their mom about it for whatever reason. You know, I don't know why she did. Maybe she had her reasons. I don't know. But they never did. And except one day when it was really rough, and they woke up in the morning, and they're eating breakfast, and you know, she's going to her sister. She goes, it happened to me again last night. And she's like, I know, it happened to me too. We came again, and da-da-da. And, which, by the way, eventually she would get enough courage to, like, or enough strength, rather, to pull the blanket over her head. And she would stay there in total fear until, like, the morning, and he'd be gone. So, one day she's talking about it at the breakfast table, and all of a sudden, their mom chimes in. And she's just like, you know, what are you talking about? So they decide to tell her. And her response is a little irresponsible, I think. I would not have said this. But she said that she sees him too. So, I mean, as a kid hearing that shit, that's the hair on the back of my neck standing up. Like, it still kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies for a mother to look at her two daughters who are going through this fucking... this terrifying thing of this intruder in their house, but it's not just like an intruder, you're paralyzed. So it's like a supernatural intruder who has the ability to freeze your ass, but he also doesn't have a fucking face, and you have no power over the situation. So essentially what she admits that morning is, yes, something is in the house, something keeps coming to us, and we all have no power to deal with it whatsoever, and yeah, it happens to me too. What the fuck is that? So I had the great pleasure of hearing, you know, the however many times it happened to her. I don't know. Let's say, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 times it would happen to her. It happened to her throughout her life. And then it continued to happen into her adult life, where she moved from where she used to live and came to a new house. And you know, same thing. She's sleeping on the living room sofa as a goddamn adult who's married. And she wakes up, he's there, he's looking over her, she pulls the blanket over her head, and finally gets the strength to vocalize again. She starts screaming, husband comes running into the room, nothing's there. nothing's there. But that's the spooky thing, too, is, like, she says he was there. She pulls the blanket up. She screams. She puts the blanket down when her husband comes in and says, what the fuck are you screaming at? And nothing's there anymore. Same room, same lighting, same time, everything. But he's just not there anymore. So, I go for a very long time before I have any instances of even remembering that. You know, I'm sure I told my friends and shit. I got a really good friend of mine who I've known since those days, and he's heard the story, and, you know, it's fucking spooky, but what can you do? Right? Certain things like that are just, what can you do? There's a story about a spooky Clint Eastwood, and, you know, nothing to be said about it. So, fast forward to about 17 years old. I'm no longer in this house. My mother is not talking to this guy anymore. In fact, we've moved on. It's been many, many years. She's married. We live in a new house in a new town. And I am sleeping. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's morning and I haven't woken up yet. And I wake up to something very strange. Now, my face is in the pillow. You know, no spooky reason behind that. I just sometimes would sleep on my stomach, you know, stomach sleeper, whatever. And this particular time, I fell asleep on my face. All right, I must have rolled over, put my face in the pillow, and started to run out of air. Now, if you've ever kind of fucked with your friend or, you know I've done it to one of my cousins once when I was younger, while they're sleeping, you pinch their nose shut and you cup their mouth. And you'll watch them struggle for, like, you know, I don't know how long, before they wake up. They don't wake up until they're really out of air. And I guess, you know, their brain deems it an emergency and wakes them up. So I didn't wake up until I was pretty well out of air. So by the time I woke up, I was already suffocating. It wasn't like I just put my face in my pillow and, you know, I was pretty well into the kind of trying to breathe and not being able to. And the first thing I realize when I wake up is somebody is pinning me down. Somebody has all of their weight on my back. I can feel their hands and what I remember as, like, it just felt like somebody had their knee on my back. Like somebody put one knee on my back and their palms on my back and just put all their weight on me and held me down. What I didn't realize at the time is I didn't have function of my arms or legs because I was so scared that I didn't stop to realize that. And in a matter of like 5 to 10 seconds, all these thoughts are racing through my head. I remember initially thinking that my mom was fucking with me. That was my first thought. It's very short, but I'm just like, what the fuck is she doing? You know? And then I'm thinking, oh my God, why is she still doing this? Why isn't she stopping? And then my mind goes to, oh my fucking God, is somebody trying to kill me? Like, is this an intruder? Is this not my mom at all? And I start panicking, making all these noises, trying to just flip over. I couldn't flip over. I couldn't get this weight off my back. And I'm fucking panicking, man. Like I said, this is only about 10 seconds, but it's amazing the shit that'll go through your mind in 10 seconds. Finally, I managed to gain function of my arms, and I shove against the bed, flipping myself over onto my back, looking at my ceiling. Nothing's there. Nothing's there at all. I don't remember what I did about that, who I told about that. I don't remember any of that shit. I just remember turning around and nobody was there. I don't think anybody was home. And I must have just chalked it up to a bad dream or something like that. And it was around this time, I think, maybe a few years later, that I caught wind of a really strange story. I started to learn about my grandmother, my mother's mom, who had a bunch of wonky beliefs. I think she believed that she had been abducted by aliens. You know, I know she was kind of into crystals, kind of a woo-woo type of deal. I remember she had a crystal ball when I was little. I don't know if she really believed it, but I know she would show it to me and have little funs with me and you know, little funs. She would tell me she could see the future, but, you know, I was a fucking kid. Who knows what she actually believed? She might have just been you know, just putting some mystery into my life, you know, just playing with me. So, but either way, through some, I don't remember who told me, I think it might have been my aunt or it might have been my mom. My grandmother ended up reading this book because she suffered from these night terrors where she thought she was being abducted by aliens. And I don't think she initially thought she was being abducted by aliens. She just knew that she was having strange experiences at night. And she read a book one day that really... it had inside... It basically was this dude's firsthand accounts of his own experiences, and they lined up with my grandmother's. They were the same experiences. Except he claimed to have an idea of what they actually were. So, whatever she read in that book was so scary that she told my mother never to read the book. Right? So, I'm a young man. I don't know how old I was. 18, 19 years old. I hear this story about my grandmother, who I loved very much. I have, you know, she died when I was 6 years old, but I remember her as just being the greatest woman. She was so sweet. She loved me so much, and she just spent so much time with me, and I, you know, to this day, I still think about her very often. You know, I feel like I could go as far as to say she crosses my mind at least once a week. You know, this is 20 plus years later. And so she has this book. She tells my mom not to read it. I hear about this book and I'm like, fuck yeah, I got to read this shit. Are you kidding me? I'm balls deep in conspiracy theories. And somebody's got a story about my grandma who I wish I knew more. And she's got a book that she doesn't want anybody to read because it's something that is key to the experiences that she's, oh my God, I've got to read this thing. So, I asked my mom, she tells me what the book is. She never read it. I don't know if she did it to, you know, honor her mother's wishes or if it was just like, she didn't have much of an interest in it, whatever it was. She goes, yeah. It's Communion. This book called Communion by Whitley Strieber. And if you know, if you're familiar with it, you're either rolling your eyes or you're going, holy shit. But, so, I go to Barnes & Noble. I find it, like, that week. And I in one of these previous episodes, I told you, I suck at reading. I cannot quiet my brain long enough to actually read a book. Except for that book. I plowed through that goddamn thing. I could have read that twice. I didn't, though. But I could have read it twice. So, basically, the rundown is Whitley Strieber has these experiences. He documents them. He speaks about them and finds a community of, you know, I don't know if I'm going too far by saying thousands, but a lot of people who have had the same experience, right? So these experiences are the same as my mom's boyfriend's mother. You know, that woman that I grew up with that told me about that man with the hat that would visit her and she would be frozen in fear and she couldn't move. Same shit. Right? Except the characters vary a little bit. In some cases, it was a man with a hat. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if Whitley said the man in the hat thing. Although I feel like I feel like I could say that. But for sure, frozen in fear. Visited by shadow beings. You couldn't see their faces, you know, and they would just watch you. Or in Whitley's case, he felt as though he was being taken to some other place. And I mean, I can't even really get into the book because there's so many details, but I know that he thought that he had like children, that they had taken his semen and ingested it into some other highly intelligent female being, and that occasionally he would be visited by these things and taken someplace else, and he would see beings that he recognized as his own children. Now, he didn't remember this actively. He went through hypnotherapy regressive hypnosis, and that's basically where you go to a psychologist or a hypnotist. I'm not too sure who does it, but they put you under hypnosis and they guide you back to this memory that it's very foggy. You can't remember a lot of it. And you're going to relive the memory so that you can unlock it and remember all the shit that was so traumatic that you blocked it out. Which is a problem because you're super susceptible to your own bullshit, to their bullshit. And just because you think you remember a thing doesn't mean shit. You could be creating bullshit memories all the time, you know? I don't put a lot of stock into it. At the time I did, though, let me tell you, motherfucker. So, like I said, his experiences mirror my grandmother's. And I don't know if he ever comes out and directly says it, but as you're reading, you get just, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, oh, this dude's experiences are that of an alien abduction. My grandma then must have believed that her experiences were that of an alien abduction. Which means, if she's right, that my mother's boyfriend's grandmother, who was, mother's boyfriend's mom, who was very much like a grandma to me, was experiencing alien abductions. So I'm going, what the fuck is going on? Like, this shit is like real close to home with me right now, you know what I mean? So I start to do, I don't know if you would call it research, I start to go online, I start to type in shadow people and, you know, shadowy figure with hat, man with hat, you know, paralyzed. All of a sudden, come across this, I don't know, I want to say worldwide, is a really big, it's something called the Hat Man phenomena. And it's this fucking character that looks like a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western type of deal with a fucking duster and a wide-brimmed hat that stands above you while you're fucking paralyzed. And I'm going, holy shit, like, something's here. I got something. I'm figuring out. I felt like Nicolas Cage in National fucking Treasure. Like, I felt like I had just started to pull the thread on a sweater, and I was going to pull that whole bitch apart and expose something crazy under that sweater. Like, I was on a fucking tear. And so, you know, a couple of weird things happened to me during this. Like, I'm not so much of a psycho that I don't realize that if I'm this obsessed with a topic, and this topic is, you know, it revolves around dreams and night terrors and shit, chances that I'm going to have a dream about this are pretty fucking high. And it does not mean that I experience that. But just be ready because, you know, hey, dummy, you're spending all this time watching horror movies. Don't be surprised if you have a nightmare about a horror movie. You know? And so, of course, lo and behold, one night, I'm sleeping next to my girlfriend at the time. And I wake up and I'm paralyzed. I can't move at all, but I'm so coherent. I'm looking around this dark room, but, you know, my eyes are acclimated, so it's really not that dark. I could see everything. And there's even some moonlight pouring in from the window that's next to me. And I say to myself, you know, oh, shit, it's happening. But I'm not scared. I don't feel scared at all. I'm just like, oh, my fucking God, this is happening. And, like, all the thoughts popped in my head, like, oh, bitch, you knew it was going to happen, like, of course, you know, you spend long enough fucking around and looking at stupid shit, something's going to happen. You know, I'm not saying it's supernatural, I'm just saying if it is a nightmare or a dream, makes sense. Makes sense because I've watched horror movies and had dreams about, you know, fucking Jason or whatever. So I'm kind of in a state of examination. You know, I'm kind of looking around, going, oh my God, I can move my eyes, that's about it. All of a sudden, I see the shadow of a man walk across the room from the right to the left. And when I see that, all of a sudden, there's like this loud electrical buzzing, it's like a hum, like, but it's intense as fuck. I can feel it through my whole body, and I just black out. What feels like instantly, I wake up, I'm on the opposite side, my girlfriend's feet are now by my head, and I'm staring at a closet that, you know, the closet's there, it's normal. It was a closet that had, like, you know, a bar with a curtain on it. So it wasn't a door. It was just a curtain. And there was no light source. There was no bulbs, nothing in that closet. It was just like, you slide the curtain, here's a bunch of clothes on a rack. That's it. No room for anything. But for some odd reason, there's this immense bright light pouring out of that closet around the edges of all the curtain, just fucking pouring. It's so bright. And I just remember thinking, like, this happens within seconds, you know? And I'm just like, oh, what the fuck? And then, boom, I'm out again. So I wake up in the morning, and I go, that was fucking crazy. But that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. But there's a couple of things that go along with it that are, like, textbook shit, right? Being paralyzed, textbook. There's a man, a shadow man, textbook. Inexplicable bright white light, which my grandmother, my mom's mom, used to describe this bright white light that would come and visit her in her bedroom window, and when she would scream for her mom to come, immediately before any adults could see it, it would zip off and you wouldn't see it anymore. So, and that's, you know, that bright white light is a characteristic of a lot of these abduction stories or whatever. Also, a loss of time, which my grandmother talked about that too. Just suddenly it was several hours later when she looked at the clock and she would just find herself standing in the kitchen. And, you know, I don't know if she herself experienced, like, the, you know, the fucking food that she was cooking was burnt and all this other shit. But I remember being told that she would experience loss of time and bright light that would run away at, you know. So, you know, bright white light pouring out from the edges of this. And the other thing is this extreme electric hum. I don't know if my grandmother experienced it, but I know a lot of people that online, if you go into these forums where people are talking about the Hat Man, this loud electrical buzzing hum. And I experienced that too. But what the fuck is it? Because I told myself I was going to experience this. And I didn't know if I had all those details. You know, if I knew I was going to experience the bright white light, if I knew I was going to experience the electrical buzzing. I don't know if I was well read on that shit. But if it's a biological phenomenon, maybe that buzzing is something else, you know? And since then, I've had sleep paralysis a little bit, but it's never... actually, no, there was a period when I first moved here where I kept having it, I think. And, but my wife is just the shit. Like, she would know every time I was struggling. And I, because you can kind of grunt and shit when you're paralyzed. She would know every time and she would wake me up. And it only happened a few times, but I'm pretty sure she got me, like, if it happened four times, she woke me up three out of four times. And man, you really do feel like somebody just saved your fucking life. Like you were drowning and somebody snatched you up out of the water. It's hard to explain. But, you know, once again, around this time, I'm starting to realize that so many people are experiencing this phenomenon that I'm like, I'm going to fucking ask around. I'm going to ask some adults and see what they say. Ask my dad, right? Hey, have you ever woken up and you can't move and there's a fucking dude there? And my dad was like, basically, how the fuck do you know about that dude? Which I might as well shit my pants right there. You know, and he goes on to talk about how he has these things, and his stories are very unique, whether or not he's full of shit. I mean, he's my dad. I tend to think he's not going to lie to me about that, but his is different in the way that he gets up. My dad says he rages out of the fucking sleep paralysis, like literally just full anger and rage, because he thinks that there's somebody in the house. He thinks that there's a dude there. So one of the stories that he has is like he wakes up and there's a dude sitting in the corner of his bedroom. And you can't see his face. It's all black silhouette. And he is paralyzed, but he gets out of it and he starts screaming at this dude. Like who that he thinks, at first he thought it was my brother. And then he I don't know if he realized it wasn't him. Or if I'm mincing instances. But I know there has been times where he's thought it was my brother. And then my brother was like, nah, motherfucker, that wasn't me. And there's been other times where he's gotten up, yelled at him, gone to the kitchen, got a knife, came back, and it wasn't there anymore. So my dad, my grandma, my not grandma, you know, what the fuck is going on? But sleep paralysis is a real thing, right? So what happens is your body goes into paralysis so that you don't act out your dreams. It's a normal evolutionary thing. I mean, imagine if you were, you know, early man trying to sleep but hide from predators, and you're having a dream and suddenly you're shouting and jumping and all of a sudden, and then you're getting eaten by jaguars. Maybe it was something like that. But, you know, the idea is it's a safety mechanism. All the crazy dreams, the fight dreams that you have and all the other shit, you don't want to act those out. So your body goes into paralysis. Sometimes your mind wakes up before your body does, and voila. Not only that, but since you just came out of a dream state and you're still kind of in one, your body's not even awake, you're now afraid because you're paralyzed. And because you're partially in a dream state, you're projecting spooky shit all around the bedroom. Pretty easy to dismiss, I think. The one thing I have trouble with is that Hat Man thing. If you look into it, people claim that it's a kind of a worldwide phenomena. Like spaghetti westerns are a thing that are unique to Western society. Why is it that dude? And also, I can think of some way scarier shit to project around the fucking bedroom than Clint Eastwood in a duster. Also, what the fuck are aliens doing in a duster and a Clint Eastwood hat? You know, or is that just Satan's walking around outfit? I don't fucking know. You know, so it's hard to say that it is anything supernatural, but it's also not so easy to completely say that it's a psychological phenomenon because of the description is very often the same shit. Like, the Hat Man is a fucking dude. It's an online thing. Thousands of people, you know, and both of my grandmothers, without ever having contact with each other, have the same experiences, you know. And then my dad, who didn't have contact with the one lady that I lived with, and, you know, I don't imagine he sat down and had powwows with my grandma. They didn't really get along very well, and she passed away when I was very young. And I don't know. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? But that was, you know, and it's one of those things you never get answers for. It doesn't really fucking matter at the end of the day. But I mean, that shit really fucked with me. And man, is it interesting though? It's so interesting. It's one of those, it's just a sexy thing, man. It's my understanding that Freddy Krueger, it was actually modeled after, what's the guy who made Freddy Krueger? He's got a funky name, doesn't he? Here, I'm going to type this in real quick. Just bear with me, because it's a really interesting thing. If I'm not mistaken, the creator of Freddy Krueger was inspired by his friend's nightmare. Freddy Krueger origin. No, maybe not. Inspiration. Now, let's see. While there wasn't a real life Freddy Krueger who terrorized the children of a town who burned him alive while they slept, according to Wes Craven, he was inspired by a very real story about seemingly young, healthy people who were mysteriously dying in their sleep. Oh, well, that's not what I fucking thought. Hold on a second. Let's find something that supports my shit. Real story. Death's inspired. Inspiration came from Buffalo, based on a true story. Inspired by seemingly young, healthy people who died in their sleep. Let's try one more thing before I let you go. I just want to design inspiration. Oops. Well, fuck. That's not how you spell it. Oh, there you go. Freddy Krueger design inspiration. What is Freddy Krueger based off of? inspired by Pepperoni Face. Well, looks like stem from several. Okay, here we go. Bear with me. I know. I need to get somebody to just run these things for me while I talk. That would be dope. Have been consistently portrayed by Freddy's a dream demon. Many times he feels the character represents neglect, partially suffering children. Television, video games, Six Flags Fright Fest, characterization. Craven's inspiration for the character included a bully from high school, a disfigured homeless man who had frightened him, 1970s pop song Dream Weaver. When I looked down, there was a man very much like Freddy walking on the sidewalk. He must have sensed I was looking at him. Blah, blah, blah. He scared the daylights out of me. Building, boop, boop, boop. Still looking at you. Baseball bat. Freddy's backstory. All right. Well, that would have been fucking dope. But it looks like Freddy is characterized as a symbol of something more powerful and ancient. Unlike six or seven. Oh, well. So anyway, I thought that Freddy Krueger was actually modeled after a story like that. And I'm not giving up on that, because I swear to God I heard that. And I at least want to figure out if I ever heard that or if I'm making shit up entirely. But yeah, that whole Hatman thing is fucking terrifying, but more than likely just a psychological phenomena. And that's pretty much it. I mean, beyond that, it was the fucking regular old Alex Jones InfoWars, the Freemasons, Illuminati, and satanic symbolism and music videos and Hollywood. That shit. I mean, to me, that shit is pretty undeniable. The symbolism in music videos, I don't know what the fuck it means. But the occult symbolism, you know, the kind of Aleister Crowley fucking all-seeing eye, pentagrams, Baphomet, all that shit. It's in more music videos than it's not. It's on more album covers than it's not. It's bizarre. I don't understand why, but I'm completely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'd love to, but we're already hitting an hour and I want to kind of wrap this shit up. Maybe I'll save that a little bit for the next one, but occult symbolism in entertainment is fucking balls. I mean, it's so excessive. It's everywhere. I feel like a lot of it is done as a gag, especially the Illuminati kind of all-seeing eye dollar bill jammy. You see that everywhere, and you know, who knows what's going on there. But there's stuff in music videos that, like I said, if you're looking for patterns, you'll find them. And I'm aware of that. But if you know the symbols and you look for them in music videos, you'll find them and they're really there. They're actually there. Like, it's not like it's open for interpretation. They're fucking everywhere. They're on the walls, in the backgrounds of music videos. They're, you know, little items sitting on a desk, maybe, as the lead singer sings and is in the front of the camera. But in the background, there's a fucking pyramid with an eye sitting on the desk. Or there's, you know, a fucking, like a goat's head, you know. And this isn't like, you know, that's a given in rock, right? In metal, that's a given. What about pop? Wow. I mean, pop is the fucking worst. And it doesn't make sense, because pop's audience doesn't get that. If you're in a fucking Slayer, you better know what a fucking pentagram is, right? But if you're into Katy Perry, why the fuck would you know? Why would you also be the type of person who knows what the all-seeing eye is, you know, and, you know, what a pentagram is, what a Baphomet is, and all these different things, you know? Why is there a 666 in the background, but you don't notice it? It's just, like, on a mug in the background. The mug says 666. It's so strange. I don't understand it. I don't know if it makes them more successful. I don't know how somehow, subliminally, it makes you more likely to, I don't know, buy their music. To me, it's like, why waste the time and the effort of hiding all these things in the... But that shit is real. If you look up symbolism in music videos, that's a rabbit hole for your ass. But that's all the time I got today. I hope you enjoyed that fucking Hatman story, because I enjoy telling that shit. That shit is fun. And if you look into it a little bit, it'll fuck you up. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm done. I'm free of that shit now. I don't do it anymore. I waited for the end of the world to come. It never came. And I realized I had spent my life fearing and prepping for some shit that just, like, if it's gonna fucking end, who gives a shit? Let it end. Nothing I'm gonna do is gonna stop it. If 2012 would have really been the end, what the fuck difference would it have made if I knew it? And it would have been a shame if it did come, because I should have spent that time enjoying my life. I'm telling you, I went deep, man. Got carried away. I only scratched the surface here, you know, an hour long. It's not a lot of time to go into this shit, but it was a lot. It was a whole lot. You know, especially that occult symbolism, that Aleister Crowley shit, you know. I don't even know if it's true, but I believe that there was a character named Jack Parsons who was an avid Aleister Crowley follower, and just massive occult fanatic and cult leader, or not cult leader, but he was a member of I forget what the organization was called. But he was responsible for major leaps in jet propulsion that NASA uses to this day. But then there's also stories of him trying to summon demons in the deserts of Nevada. Ah, man. I'll tell you what, though. Just thinking, I love that shit. I love a good summoning the greasy demons in the desert of Nevada story. That's dope. All right, so that's all I got for you. Episode 4, thank you again so much. If you are listening, obviously, if you're hearing this, you're listening. These things are going to get better. They suck right now. I'm fully aware of that, but I enjoy doing them. And if you enjoy listening to them, well, that's all that fucking matters then, okay? And you know, I'll work at it. We'll get better. And I'll see you next time on Episode 5. In the meantime, don't get eaten by any greasy demons, if you wake up to a man staring at you and you can't move, just know that he's probably all in your mind. You know? Get over it. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.